Good morning also to our guests. We note that you normally come and be there, and we appreciate your participation in this very important portfolio committee. We are ready to start. I delayed a little so that one could pick up a cup of tea. Now we are ready to start. I will request the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee to do the normal procedure of informing us who is here and who is not here, any apologies, as well as if we correct, so that what we do is going to be constitutionally right. Can I do that, Secretary?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, the minister and departmental officials in presence. Chairperson, we are a quorum. We are more than 50%. I received a couple of apologies. One is from the deputy minister, who indicated that she won't be with us today due to ill health. Another one is from Honorable Mabilo. He is also not well. He won't be in parliament for this week. Another one is from Honorable Dudley and Honorable Fana Merve. Both of them are attending the Chief Whip's Forum. They will join the committee later on. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Minister, I think I must raise this concern of the Portfolio Committee that we can see that you are alone. Your deputy is never here, and we have been very concerned that she might be very sick. But to be honest, we do see her doing some other activities, and it is also very unfortunate, Madamine, that your deputy. Is doing the work of this department, but never bothers to come and account. I think as a chair, I feel very, very strongly that we need to get explanations on this matter. It's going too long. And also, the official from the minister's office cannot be representing the deputy minister. When I say minister, I was referring to your deputy, honorable minister. And when we went to the oversight, there were many things that we thought she would help us, and as well as matters that we discussed also pertains to the work you as a minister, which you have allocated to the minister herself. And therefore, I think she owes us some explanation, and also an explanation as to if the minister, the deputy minister, is not present, is it necessary to take that official out for the tour or oversight? I'm saying tour because we are not tourists, but it helps us sometimes when we are out there. We can even buy a smaller Yana Tuk and other things. So it's part of it makes us a little bit better than when we sit here. So I was making an emphasis that we need to ensure that we correct this and we have a norm whether the minister, deputy minister, is represented by her liaison or an official from her office. It's a matter that pertains to budget as well, as to whether the people that come here have any contribution to make, because I don't see your liaison reporting to you on the work that she could have been here and participate. Instead, receive the report. I think there is something not normal. having said that, I think honorable members are going to agree with me that we have to start with the important program, which is SASSA, so that when we discuss that one, we're still very fresh in our mind. And it helps us because SASSA is not for food. SASSA is for the empowerment and development of our people. And because SASSA is actually led in terms of departmental leadership by DSD, it also helps DSD to put flesh and do some work there. And therefore, I don't think if we ask questions from SASSA, or we are not asking from DSD, because DSD is supposed to be having all her hands, if she is a female, her hands or his hands on the deck insofar as SASSA is concerned. Because once SASSA doesn't do well, of course, the accountability lies with the department itself. But I will request you, Honorable Minister, to first take us through, because it has been some time we have not been meeting. So it is going, we know why. We are not apologetic because we are doing a lot of work with the members. I therefore would want the minister to take us through, and then you know your delegation, you know who will be doing what task. That area is your own area. But you will also have to introduce if there are any officials that are new in this family. That's why I'm starting with you. I think it's your own role. Thank you very much. I give the opportunity to the department, honorable members.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, and good morning. Chairperson, firstly, let us introduce Ms. Pearl Bengu, who is the acting CEO of SASSA. Let me also say that since she started at SASSA, she has been reporting about progress that we have made up to so far. But also raise that we raised our concern with the Speaker of the National Assembly about the route for reporting on the work or implementation of our policies. So we are waiting for their response. We are also concerned about not reporting to the Portfolio Committee, because it is the role of the Portfolio Committee to do oversight work. And we've reported twice to the Constitutional Court. And then I remember that we had agreed that we need to try and squeeze in the report
to the portfolio committee before it goes to the Constitutional Court, because there are matters that the committee, due to its position, might add in the report or might question, so that we present a properly discussed report to the Constitutional Court. I think now what we are going to do is to report on what has already happened, and reporting on what has already happened also takes us back, because we are presently doing some work so that we can prepare for the next presentation to court. One other issue is that we've had meetings with the committee of experts that was appointed by the Constitutional Court. So as to, I think they are experts in the committee, so they have to look into the work also that we are doing, monitor the work that we are doing. There are also issues that we've been trying to sort out with the Treasury. And I think Pearl will report on those. But we must say that there is a progress, and the reports of the work streams have been adopted by the executive, which was very important, because the work that was done by the work streams could not have been done or by the officials at SASA. I think we all spoke about Webstream and their expertise and what they had done. So we have adopted that work, but also we have presented that to the inter-ministerial committee. I must also say that the committee of experts is worried about the implementation of some of the work that we are doing, because it needs experts. Lastly, I think we must all know that when we joined SASA, there was, when we joined social development, there was work that was done already by Minister Mulema. And that work was done by also people that specialize in some of the areas that they did. So it's not like we just sat down and came up with the advisory committee, and also the advisory committee came up with recommendations. There was a process that was followed. And fortunately, we have information from that committee up to the advisory committee and the work streams about the role of post office. Maybe I should mention here that it is the ruling party that decided that the post office must be involved in the work of SAFA. And we are already doing some work with the post office. A month ago, we signed some agreement with them, and we are going to be paying them plus 60 million for sending or delivering our post. I don't want to go to the disadvantages and of that. They are an issue for another day. Then when we came to the issue of a request for proposals, we thought that because the post office is a government entity, it should be given a priority. Then they have responded, and after that response, we had to start with due diligence. And for us to get proper work, there were many companies that had applied or put their tenders. But at the end of the day, we thought that another government institution will be much better. It will be cheaper, and then we ended up using the CSIR. So they've already started with a due diligence. If we can remember well, go back to what has happened before. This committee was once told that we've done a due diligence in the post office. It was not done. And we are not doing a due diligence with the post office because we don't want to work with the post office. It's because we understand the nature of the work that we are doing. And therefore, we need to ensure that they really have what is required for the payment of grants. So it has nothing to do with us not wanting to work with the post office. We do want to work with the post office. And it's not like there was a messiah who came to say, no, now the post office must come in. There are processes that have already been there that had to do with the post office. Now, after the report of the due diligence, I think we have to come here and be given an opportunity and come with the post office and let them respond to the issues that will be raised in the due diligence. We feel it is unfair for committees to call us and the post office and then ask questions from us that they should be asking from the post office. We really feel we are unfairly treated when it comes to that issue. And I must say that we've tried to clean our house, and we believe that we are doing, we are trying our best, and we are not confused, and we want whoever thinks grant payment is important to work together with us, but not to create a confusion within the officials. because what I see is that we are gravitating towards that. Yesterday, the committee was in Scopa. We are supposed to disclose a very confidential information, of which it is unfair. We are being compromised in the name of doing justice. And Chairperson, I thought we should raise that matter so that we are at the same space. But I'm going to allow Ms. Bimbo to get into the report, and others will make additions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Before you start, may Victor ask, can I check from the members, because this particular input is from the political leadership, and then maybe we can entertain this, but if it's just administrative matter, we will allow it to be then given to Usisnake. But can I allow hands now that want to make some input in this regard? In that regard, I note Umme Masango, Umamubev. I'm very happy to welcome Umama Abrams back. We went to the oversight in KwaZulu-Natal. She arrived very early the evening before, but she had a serious accident. She fell in the hotel. She couldn't attend a single meeting. She had to be treated, and then she had to go the following day as per doctor's instruction. We are very delighted to see her back. But we also have a member of this portfolio committee, Umamu Sondi. Umamu Sondi has not been well. We have been informed. Siyajabula ke uma esebuyile. We have missed her voice for some time. Siyabonga ubuyile. So I wanted to just note that we do care. Only this country is too big. I get lost in Gauteng. That's why I didn't come and see you. Not unless Parliament is going to give me some guide who is going to help me get to where our members have a problem. You're welcome. Then you can, Mamu Masango and Abra.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would like to welcome the acting CEO, as has been introduced by the Minister, to doing the work of SASSA. And thank the Minister for the inputs, because some of the issues, if not all of the issues that she has touched, are the issues that, as the Chairperson said earlier on, are issues that we've been also grappling with as a committee. The first issue being the presentation of the report before it was taken to the Constitutional Court, because I seem to remember that the CEO then said to us at the committee we would get, and I quote, the first bite before the Constitutional Court gets the report. And the Minister is right in saying that doing a post-Constitutional Court reporting is sort of taking the whole process back. So I would like to know, even from the Chair, as it were, why was it that we did not get the report? Because I remember on the day we had one executive from the from SASSA who had to do a snap one-pager report, because the officials of SASSA were not here with us, and apparently they were meeting with a panel of experts on the day that we were supposed to get the report before it went to the Constitutional Court. So we have the same concern, and we would like to know why that was allowed to happen in fact. And when it comes to the work streams, one welcomes that the work streams have actually reported, and the report has been adopted by the executive of SASSA. The meeting would, or the committee would recall that there was a time when we were in the old assembly chamber when we were asking for the report of the work streams, and that report was not available at the time, and the minister undertook to actually make sure that the work stream comes back to the committee to report. And we've never seen that report, but one then is basically asking for the report that has now been adopted by the executive of SASSA to actually be tabled before the committee. But also I would like to ask a question when it comes to that report, because one by now would assume that that was a close-up report, because obviously the work streams of the work has ended, and they are no longer working with SASSA as per what was sort of agreed. So I would like clarity on the work streams and the fact that the report that has been adopted was actually partly a report, but also partly a close-up report from the work streams in working with SASSA. And the last thing, Chairperson, that I wanted to touch on the inputs of the minister is that of SAPO, because the minister is saying that there was always a desire to work with SASSA. With SAPO, I just remember that the last meeting, and this tables a concern on my part, that we've not met as often as we should have as a committee, especially during this period where the department and SASSA are sort of reporting to the Constitutional Court and ensuring that we are all systems go for the institutionalization of the grant payment system on the 31st of March 2018. So coming to SAPO, when we last met, SAPO was going to meet with SASSA and the department the following day to have a workshop, out of which we were going to get a sense of what SAPO can do and what SAPO cannot do, and then the SASSA was then going to make sure that they go on some open tender system, if you like, to get an organization or organizations that were going to do the work that SAPO could not do. So one would like to know, how far is that process? We are looking now at just 6 months before the time, and the fact that all these processes are taking place in such a way that we are on time or we are ready to actually part with CPS come 31st March 2018. Thank you, Chair.
Very much. I do fully agree with the Honourable Masango that we haven't been meeting, and also the fact that work is being fast for our own activities. You remember there has been parliamentary work that has caused us not to meet, including the oversight, including the long recess. So I think I do acknowledge that in a way it has indirectly created this gap in terms of information. However, I would also want to say the last question that you have asked is going to go to the detail by Mrs. Cole, that the detail about the work they have done. But also I had advised the department, because when they bring these reports, they really relate a lot to what has been done. But knowing fully well that members know everything that has been done, what has, as you have actually proven in this meeting, so their report starts to the new work. Otherwise, they do have in the other slides all the background that you have really hinted on up until to date. So this question is going to be taken, but the minister will also respond to whatever she thinks belongs to her.
So, ma, can I acknowledge Umama Ubev?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you for your kind words. And yes, I am healing, and praise God for that. Thank you. Yes, I'd like to say thank you, Minister, for reporting on the adoption of the executive, the work streams. Well done, and we're looking forward to future reporting by the work streams. It is work in progress, and we must say that you've done very well in that regard. And also the chairperson has mentioned that we've been away for a while, recess and so on. I think when programming sits that they do prioritize meetings, but they suffer don't take up space during recess. We must acknowledge that there's lots of work to be done by Parliament, and we appreciate the Minister being part of our program and also being present today. Thank you, Chairperson.
I didn't make an intervention in is the issue of a very important matter that the Minister has raised. I think we'll take up politically, Honorable Masango. The Minister has actually made her effort in terms of the role that portfolio committees play, because there is overreach to our own space, particularly by the SCOPA. But we deliberated a lot as this committee, where we also invited a legal unit of Parliament to come and brief us as to what becomes the role of the SCOPA dealing and following financial matters, including findings by the AG. And the portfolio committee having a role to monitor and oversight. And then once matters begin to want to be investigated, have been identified as findings, then the SCOPA comes in. And we also participate. But it is also disappointing. That's why I'm saying I think it's a political management that we as leaders politically must take up. For example, we wanted to be with the portfolio, with the support of administration when we went to the oversight. They wrote a letter to say, on this particular date, we will be in KZN accompanying the portfolio committee. But the SCOPA committee did not agree. So instead of pulling officials apart, we had to submit to the fact that it's fine. If they have to account, let them go there. But at the same time, committees also clash, because I do know that the schedule for SCOPA following matters cannot be prioritized over the committee work, because your political organization expect reports by their deployees delegated into this portfolio committee. And when they go back to say, we didn't see it because officials were not to be cut half-half. So that's, so I think we raised the matter, but we could see that as officials, they are not able to say, no, we can't come. For example, the critical issue that Honorable Masango is raising, that one that says they went to the experts as monitors to have a meeting with them, which was then overriding and flying over the face of the portfolio committee that has set a day aside as per parliamentary procedures to listen to them accounting. But because now I think they had to go to the new bosses. And then I also want to report officially that the matter as advised by the very members of the portfolio committee, I wrote a letter to the AG inquiring about the work they are doing. And actually I had to telephonically communicate with Mr. Makwetu on these issues, because we were supposed to meet for a full day with them. And then they wrote back to say, after the secretariat did get the actual invited, that we can't come because this report has to go to the court before it comes back to you. And they cannot pronounce. And I do believe that secretary I had said, although it was my letter, dispatch the letter to other members so that they can actually believe that we tried our efforts for the report to come. But then the legal matter was that they say legally they cannot do that. But I've properly and repeatedly read the letter. The letter is somehow clarifying that their role is not like the audit. And that report cannot be reported in the legislative matter that exists. They have got there. It's only a vehicle for the judge to ensure that what their orders are being carried out. There's a sentence on that. And they also responded to my, the letter is here. Yeah, it's written very clear. And their role, they actually have something that says at the end, they would want to clarify the parameters because there's a role confusion in this matter. Because if monitoring and some work is being done by the monitors, they then are subjected to oversight by the committee. For example, I think as they are going to report, there are matters that we are going to pick up as this portfolio committee, matters of remuneration. Because in the letter, they say the SASA must determine the remuneration rate. And also, they are not going to report to SASA. They are monitoring SASA. SASA must determine, but the scope of work is also determined by the AG. And then they are beginning to really, really throw this particular department in a deep sea when they say the remuneration must be reasonable. What is reasonability? Because they are not saying it must be in relation with other rates for doing such work. And we don't know which work. So this matter is going to be discussed, but I intended yesterday to have a meeting with the AG, because our matters were so that you cannot come to the meeting as scheduled. Please let us meet, myself as the chair and you as the head of that Chapter 9 institution. Then we agreed on a meeting yesterday. Hence I had to leave Flagstaff at 1 a.m. in order to be in Durban at 5 to catch a flight so that I can meet them. Then the meeting was not successful. And then the meeting will only take place Tuesday, because when we made a follow-up, we ended up agreeing that before the next week's meeting, we must have met so that we decide that they should come and say what is in this letter in a platform that is constitutionally constituted in order for us to know. And we'll also return to the legal unit so that they should be part of our meeting. Because if we open SASA to reasonability and also AG monitoring and accounting to the court, because they have written only as an emphasis that we will report to the court only, and we can't give you that report before. And this has created some sort of a dichotomy in the sense that we were fighting with the department that why are they not reporting. And having read their instruction from AG, they were saying, we're not supposed to report to you, nor to account to you. So this matter cannot be a matter of a conflict in our standing as the department and the portfolio committee. Rather, let the law come in and give us as to when the confusion, because I think also judge decided to send to say they are going to do this work. After they have ruled, they found out that they themselves need experts to actually monitor because they are not skilled. Theirs is about finances. Now they have to monitor implementation of programs. They now go for experts. They come back and say these aspects, they don't want to determine how much they should be paid. For that matter, who should pay? So I think these questions are very big questions that need us to thoroughly go through. I fully agree with you, Honorable Member, that there's work in progress, and we have not been sleeping on duty in terms of finding answers. But at the same time, you have to respect the protocol that you go this, you wait for this, you go afford. So that is the matter. And I think I've been honestly taking members of this portfolio committee with due respect, ensuring that they are part and parcel of what the chair does in terms of following the mandate of the portfolio committee. So I will then allow the minister, if there's no other hand, to just respond. But we appreciate that minister saw also that she needs to intervene and want to know what are the principles of a report accounting. And if at the same time I must account in two committees, which committee must be left marginalized and which committee must be prioritized, it has become very clear. So that is the matter. Matlamini, you can be on the floor to respond to honorable members.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think some of the statements that are made by members are preempting what we are going to report about. So I think let's give our full report and say, for instance, if you want to adopt a report of the work streams, you need to call them to MINMEC. You need to call them to the IMC so that they make a full report. And just terminating their services would mean we are throwing away government money. And then the second issue is that actually there are two very critical work streams that did not start with their work. Human resource. We all know that when there are changes in an institution, there must be discussions with unions as well as the officials. But also, we need to come up with what we are going to need as SASSA to implement our work. So we must have a work stream. And then other issues of communication, because this is a highly contested terrain, and we don't want to be this whole thing is a secret that should not be discussed openly. South Africans must be taken through this process, so that they themselves understand what is going on, hear it from the horse's mouth, not listen to assumptions that are made by people that are not in the situation. So we also have to have a very strong communication about this whole issue. Thank you, Chairperson. Let's ask Pam to get into the report.
Okay. Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Chair, Honourable Members, Minister Mbathabile Dlamini, my colleagues from DSD and FASA, good morning. Sanbonani. I'll start with the presentation. We do have the copies, but we put the presentation up as well, so that we can use whichever mode is convenient for us. Firstly, I want to start with the purpose of the presentation.
That honourable member must find the space next to other honourables. You are welcome. Continue.
To provide progress report to the portfolio committee on, firstly, the implementation of the legislative mandate of SASA and the extent to which the mandate has been implemented. Secondly, the constitutional court order implementation and key event schedule to ensure the continuation of social assistance grants payment beyond April 2018, and the proposed insourcing of the payment function over the estimated period of 3 to 5 years. Then the background. Maybe, Chair, it's important that we go back to the Act mandate and what SASA really is supposed to be doing. We do have a stated in Chapter 2 of Section 3 of the Act, Number 9 of 2004, which is the South African Security Agency Act of 2004. And it states clearly that we must act eventually as the sole agent that will ensure the efficient and effective management, administration, and payment of social assistance. It further says that we must serve as an agent for the prospective administration and payment of social security and render the services relating to such payments. I've put up this slide, Chair, so that we all are on the same understanding of why SASA was actually established under social development, which is very important that as we move with how we actually want to do our payments, we actually know first our mandate so that execution of our payments should be according to the Act. And the Act is stating clearly that we should be an agent when it was amended to administer a payment of the whole of social security, which is very important. So we are looking at the current scope of the work that we are doing at SASA. It is the management, administration, and payment of social assistance to about 17.3 million beneficiaries. And then the first one, the management and administration function are largely insourced. By that I mean that the administration part is fully done by SASA in our local offices and our district offices. And then the payment function is the only part of our function that is outsourced, that we have a service provider doing our payments as SASA. So we are split into two. And SASA, in the process for further execute administration and payment of social grant, we see ourselves eventually being able to actually carry the full mandate on our own as SASA. And now we'll go to the compliance with the Concord. Towards the end of the 5-year payment contract between SASA and CPS, an urgent court application was lodged by BlackSash, supported by various interested parties to stop SASA from applying for extension of the contract. The judgment was handed down on the 17th of March 2017. It declared that SASA and CPS are under an obligation to ensure that payment of social grants to beneficiaries from the 1st of April until the entity other than CPF is able to do so, and that a failure to do so will infringe upon beneficiaries' rights to access social assistance under Section 27, Subsection 1, C of the Constitution. The declaration of the invalidity of the contract was further suspended for the 12 months from April 2017. Hence, then we have to give quarterly reports to the court. Now, coming to the compliance with the Constitutional Court, we had to have an addendum with CPF for the extension of the work that we're doing with them, and the payment of beneficiaries is taking place as the agreed upon payment schedule. We are doing that with CPS as we speak now. SASSA is monitoring the service provider to ensure that beneficiary information is not compromised, as we know that the court ruling as well said something to that effect, that all the beneficiary information must be protected and must not be given to other entities. And CPS has on the 30th of the 1st filed its financial audited statement for the contract that ended 31st of the 3rd month 2017. This is also according to the concord that they had to do that. And we have obtained quotations, but we really want to actually comply to what the concord has said on those financials, but CPS did submit the financials as they were instructed by the Constitutional Court. And then also the report was tabled on the 21st of June 2017. The report was actually due on the 17th of June. Remember, we have to report on quarterly, and then because of the holiday, there was on the 16th of June, and then it was extended to the 17th of June. Then the report was actually only filed on the 20th, but we did get a condemnation on that one. But the dates that are coming up now, on the 15th of September, which is next week, we have to file the report to the Constitutional Court. But maybe just to indicate to this House that whilst we have to file the report on the 15th of September, we know, we show that we will have it ready on the 15th, and we will file it on the 15th. We want to actually emphasize that part. But on the 13th of September, we are having an IMC meeting, which is the Interministerial Committee, and then on the 14th of September again, as per our meeting with the SCOPA yesterday, they actually indicated that they will be visiting our offices, and then on the 15th then we will be filing, just as a concern, because it has been raised that we need to actually discuss the report with the portfolio committee before actually filing the report. Those are the dates, Chairperson, that we're having as SASSA. And then the appointment of independent experts, we actually have got their names there. Those are the independent experts, and the committee is being chaired by the Auditor General, Mr. Makwetu, and we are working with all those people in that committee. And then further, you know, taking the compliance of the Constitutional Court, we have requested, we actually gave the rates of the DPSA, which we proposed about 1,500 to actually pay the experts, and then they have actually requested that they would rather be paid 2,700 per hour instead of 1,500. That is the proposal, which is in line with DPSA rates. And then we've had our meetings with the experts as indicated on the 14th, the 7th, and the 24th. and SASSA has actually briefed the panel of payment model strategy, project, and the costing. And the panel, on the other hand, has even had engagement with SASSA stakeholders. Maybe to add on that one, they have requested some of the reports just to see on how we work in, and now and then they are monitoring by requesting a report. Maybe the last report that they just requested from us is the RFP that has been given to SAPO. They actually have requested that report, of which it has been given to them. And then now we're coming to the payment model. Then SASSA, in consultation with the Department of Social Development, resolved that a hybrid model be implemented, which will include in sourcing certain components of the payment process. I just want to emphasize on the insourcing. We are mindful that the payment of the grants should be our responsibility. And we feel that if we don't take some of the things that would be easy for us to implement in this process, we will be, you know, losing some great opportunity. And we feel that it is our opportunity at this present time that whatever we can do inside as SASSA and take responsibility, we have to take those things and do them within SASSA itself rather than outsourcing everything. And then the procurement services of payment service provider as an interim solution through a combination of government to government services and competitive bidding processes. And maybe to state that in the process of us trying to get a new service provider and trying to do some of the work ourselves, we are mindful that we have to actually collaborate with other government entities so that whatever we want to do, it's being helped by our other entities where they can actually bring efficiencies to actually help us to do our work efficiently. And we engaging with other organs of state like SAPO, that we already know, is involved in payment space for possible collaboration in line with approved prescriptions, and continuing with the efforts to build internal capacity to take over the responsibility for the payment or takeover. And in that space as well, we mustn't forget that we must always have a process that is competitive, which will help us to actually achieve the efficiencies of cost effectiveness. That's why we decided that it would be a hybrid model, because if you put something on a bid, then you might get people that are bidding. For them to be favorable, they will try and reduce the cost, especially with the volumes of SASSA. Anyone would really get economies of scale if they are dealing with SASSA. And competitive bidding then will really help us to achieve that. And then maybe just on the phase one that we are, the current situation where SASSA's role is actually put there, what we're doing, and then the payment service provider's role is also being stipulated there. In this slide, I just want us to actually be mindful that we do have to have a way and a very professional way of change management program so that our systems and processes and our people will be involved in that. And this will help us to build the capacity and the capability over time. And we actually need to bring that expect to actually come to work with us on that, because we are looking at this as a program that won't be just be from now to the implementation, which is the 1st of April 2018, but this will be a process that will take us until such time we are able as SASSA to actually insource the whole grant payment, of which the whole mandate will be within us. And it's a process that would say, like we said here, it's over 5 years. This process as well will be over that 5 years. And then again, this is how then we have actually crafted on what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We actually said the key aspects which SASSA will face in between 2017 and 2018, which is the immediate 1st of April 2018, is the bank, corporate bank account. It's direct transfers for beneficiaries in commercial bank account, including the Walvis Bay beneficiaries, which are all are using direct payments. And then the biometric identify user management system, that this part where we for our staff members, because the biometric will be for both staff and beneficiaries. This contract has been awarded already, and the management of regulation 26A direct deduction, we are busy negotiating that that must be done inside SASSA as well, and the migration of data from current service provider, which we are busy doing it. We have explained, I've got the schedule, I'll go to the schedule of the migration of data. It's attached in the presentation. But I just want maybe to elaborate more on the corporate bank account. On the account, it's the account that will be able to make us do the payments within SASSA through a sponsor bank or whoever is going to sponsor us. But on the corporate account, we're talking about the payment of social grants. It will be especially for the social grants. And then this again will help us to be able to do the reconciliation of how many grants have been paid this month, how many people didn't get their money. This now will be able to control it in-house. At the present moment, this is done by the service provider, and the money that comes from Treasury, it goes straight to from Treasury to the service provider. But this will then empower us as well to be able to tell whoever wants to know how much interest on the money that was paid, because remember the money people deduct it and save in withdraw it in phases. Then if the money has been there for 2 days or 3 days, we will be entitled to an interest of which we'll be able to actually tell how much interest we have gained and then how many actually beneficiaries didn't collect their money on that month, we'll be able to know in-house, and how much money was actually paid out that month, then we will know it at that time, every month, which means it will be our responsibility as well. And then let's go now to the in-source SASSA corporate accounts. Here we have the objective is for SASSA to take ownership to main account, as I have said, and we have confirmation from the South African Reserve Bank and the National Treasury on requirements and the time frame. Maybe to state that we're having a task team, that is ourselves, the South African Reserve Bank and the National Treasury, that we always talk on these accounts, and that the PNG account, we all know that it's with the South African Reserve Bank. And then we also need to manage direct transfers to beneficiaries and their commercial bank accounts. We are aware that some of the beneficiaries are actually using their own banking accounts, which we have counted up to 1.6 beneficiaries use their own banking accounts and would like them then to be able to pay that on our own, to do those transfers on our own. And then on the holding account, it's still red there. Maybe just to mention that we haven't actually even advertised that, because we are waiting for the RFP that was given to SAPO. The finalization of the evaluation and the due diligence will then take us from what would be happening to what is going to happen on in that space of the holding account. At the moment, there is nothing that we can do until the process that you are engaged with SAPO has been completed. Only after the process is completed will actually be able to engage there. And then on the regulation 26A, the insourcing of management of regulation 26A, which is deductions on funeral, the funeral premiums that are deducted from our beneficiaries. We want to take full responsibility for that, and we want to do it in-house. We anticipate that that will be done by October in-house. And then we the SOCPEN enhancement to be able to handle that. It's under progress already. And then we have engaged with the service providers, which are service providers that are doing the deductions for SASSA and all the other departments. We are engaging there. The part that we actually would like to take 26A, it's all the funeral cover deductions, is that we will be able then to control the mandate within ourselves. Then we know that all the beneficiaries that have signed that they do want the policy will have that script that they have signed and the affidavit that that money can be taken from their account. Then we will have full control of that. And then the important part, the securing of beneficiary data, we are busy with that. On the biometric data, the data has been taken over by SASSA, but we want to actually understand that CPS is still working with us in our offices, and as people are coming to actually register for grants, they are still taking that biometric data. That is the data that we are receiving as SASSA on monthly basis. And then the payment of transaction data, we are in progress of getting it. We have written to CPS, and we've had a meeting last week with the CEO and the executives of CPS, and we have agreed that the final date for that will be in November. But that's the data as well, because they are still working, which once we've taken over, we'll still have to get it on monthly basis. And then there's all the other data that I think the slide was requested on the last from the last presentation, so that we see that we have the grant payment data, which is actually we own the SOCPEN data, and we've been saying we do own. Our SOCPEN data is the one that controls the payment. Even our service provider gets a file from us to say these are the people that must be paid, and then they take the file and then they process it for payment. And then the data that we actually say we want is the one that they who they paid and how much and who didn't actually collect their money, because we know that some beneficiaries don't collect their money every month. And the beneficiary transaction data, it's the one that CPS owns with Grindrod, because maybe why the bank, for us to be able to, or for anyone to be able to collect the money from any machine, we definitely need an account. And the SASSA card. SASSA card then must be linked to a banking account, which is why CPS actually used Grindrod. And then this data has not been availed as yet, but we are talking to CPS. They said when we had the meeting with them, they said there is no problem. It's only that we know that again on monthly basis, then we have to collect the data. And then there's FICA data, which is it's more banking related, where you actually have to take the data, which is the one between CPS and Grindrod, and beneficiary data, which is the one that SASSA will have, and then CPS will actually use the data to actually process the monthly payments. And then the beneficiary voice does the data. There are no voice prints on the beneficiary recorded during the enrollment and registration. We all remember that during registration, there was a challenge on the voice data, and it was challenged because of some reasons, and one of the reasons was that what if people can't really speak us. And only limited data was received. This data is not currently used by SASSA because we had to actually rely more on the biometric data than the voice data. And then going to progress to date, where are we and, you know, the way forward on where we actually want to see ourselves as SASSA. Now, maybe just to explain again that we have given SAPO an RFP as a government-to-government collaboration that they have to actually state and actually fill in the bid documents on whichever areas they are able to give SASSA, which means the services that SAPO would want to give us. And then we have given the date that was going to be the 14th to the 25th of August, and then the due diligence then commenced on the 31st of August. It was a bit delayed. We were explaining that we asked for the deviation to use CSIR, and then the deviation was declined by Treasury, and after they declined it, we had to go back to the normal process of asking quotations, and we asked those quotations. And then we believe that the BAC will sit on the 11th and the 12th of September to actually look at the evaluation process, which will be amalgamated with the due diligence report, and then they would be able then to actually give results on that one. And then maybe the delay, to explain again, firstly, when we actually asked for quotations, there was none response, and it was twice until then we actually got four bids that we received, and then again the delay was done that by that Treasury actually declined the deviation. Why we requested a deviation? It's because we saw that they were non-responsive, and when we had the suppliers that responded, they actually responded late, and we were just trying to manage time at that point, because it's very important that we manage our time very well. Our time is not on our side. We have very limited time. But when then the Treasury declined, then we went back to a process, and that process has put us back by 2 weeks from our initial plan. But we have since revised our initial plan. That's the plan that has been revised. Those are the dates that we actually are stating what's going to be happening on which date. And I must state that we are committed to actually stick to all those dates as given to you, Madam Chair. And we, if there are any delays that would actually be beyond our control, we will report and we will actually give reasons. Even for Treasury, we do have letters that we wrote to them, and their letter of where they declined. But we are committed to say if we stick to all the dates and the plan we unfold as those dates, then by November, December, there should be some setting up and the testing. And we've said that the final test would be in January, because we know sometimes November and December it's very busy, but we will have to make a bigger testing. Why we say in January? We only said we know that in December sometimes the payment of grants is moved to be earlier by 5 days or so. So that might disturb the testing. But we say the final testing will be in January. I think that's where we are with the progress of what is happening, the whole procurement process to take us to the 1st of April 2018. And this is to comply with the Concord judgment as well, which is very important to us, and we are committed to actually execute those dates as they are there. And then come now to the business continuity and transition payment. It is also imperative that a well-managed exit from CPS is taken into account and planned for a phase-in, phase-out. And I must say that in the space, we were happy that CPS actually asked for a meeting with us so that we can discuss exactly the phase-in and phase-out. And we also want to state that there will be a possible CAID life extension and the phase-out at the same time. And that new SASSA card rollout project will take place alongside with the life with the card life extension project. And again, if extended, the life of the card should be replaced in the shortest possible time. That will be now the logistics that will be between the person who would be then be a new service provider and with CPS. New service provider meaning if SAPO gets it, they will also have to follow that space again. And then a new SASSA payment card will have to new SASSA card will be managed by the new service provider while remaining the property of SASSA. We also want to take ownership of the card that as SASSA we own that card. And the card will address all SASSA goals and objectives for the business value search. But by that, we want to say we really see a new card being a card that won't really allow any debit orders so that we don't have any more deductions from those accounts. And we believe that if we do that, then unscrupulous business people won't be able then to take advantage of the beneficiaries. And we are mindful that there might be beneficiaries that would really want to have those debit orders in their account, and those then will gladly open their accounts where their banks will tell them about the bank charges and everything else, and then as SASSA they will just request us to actually pay their money in those accounts. But for a number of beneficiaries, that the complaints that we've had as SASSA, we actually want to actually say that card must never be able to take any debit orders, so that the beneficiaries are protected. And then on the phase two, there is the introduction of the card. That is now, we're talking about the current until the 31st of March 2021, where we actually envisage that by that time, SASSA would be able to take over grant payments fully and in-house. And then almost the same slide with the previous one, only that this one is taking up to 2021. And then we are mindful of the risks that we are faced with. And we are really, we'd like to stress on the risks that we have introduced a risk register where we are registering anything that is happening and making sure that whatever we do at the moment will be able to take us through and to April 2018 smoothly. But we have to actually mention the risk that we're facing. And then the first risk would be the failure to pay grants on the 1st of April. I don't think anyone would want to actually have that risk. And then hence the process of appointing a new service provider is strengthened. How strengthened? On weekly basis, on Monday mornings, we have meetings as SASSA executives where we have only one item in the agenda. It's payments and how far is payments, just talking about payments only. And then the brief concord on progress and the challenges and the risks. Those risks, when we have our report to the Concord, we'll actually brief them. And then we've decided as well that we will send a list of risks to the experts as well so that they can look at them. And then and the card issuance and distribution, we all know that if we talk of 10.2 million cards, we talk of a lot of cards. But we actually get comfort to understand that the cards are actually owned by either MasterCard or Visa, and you can always get an extension on those cards, which means they can actually work. As long as it's MasterCard or Visa, we can extend them so that our beneficiaries will never be inconvenienced. While issuing new cards on one side, we can actually ask the Reserve Bank on their card extension. That part of with the Reserve Bank has been discussed. And then we don't want to see ourselves in the failure to comply with the constitutional judgment. For us to not to be in that, we schedule the schedule of reports to the Concord in place. The Concord appointed a panel of experts, of which we think they'll be able to study the risk as well on their own and be able to report to the Constitutional Court, and the continuous weekly evaluation of progress made by our executives in head office will help just to make sure that things are being sped up. And then the panic and confusion amongst our beneficiaries, I think as this is being discussed, like it happened last year, you get this huge panic and confusion among beneficiaries, and sometimes you get those malicious WhatsApp telling them that they must go and change their cards are expiring, where we actually haven't communicated that to them. We really have improved on communication strategy in place, because we will need, as soon as we move with the procurement processes, we want to actually communicate to our beneficiaries so that they know exactly what is going to happen. The potential litigation, as we all know that we have been in the space of SASSA previously, we have set out the bids there, and before the bid is actually even evaluated, we've had people challenging the bid. And unfortunately, with that part, we always look at ourselves as people who are dealing with poor people, people who want to protect the beneficiaries, people who want to alleviate poverty and actually make sure that no one sleeps without eating in our country. But as much as we have that mind and driving that process to the best of our ability, when you mention the actual amount that SASSA is distributing to beneficiaries, the markets will move, whether we like it or not. And people that are in business will want to tell themselves and ask themselves how much of that over 140 billion will they be able to get as business people, whether retailers or anyone else, but they would want to actually make sure that they maximize our profits on that stage. And hence you'll find that everyone is fighting to get that. And this is a very serious problem, because it's a contrast on our work, where we actually want to do good and to actually distribute the grants properly. But because there's money involved, yeah, the markets will always move, and we have to get used to that and make sure that we comply with all the SCM processes, make sure that our SCM processes are prudent, so that even when we are challenged, we are able to show that the actual process was fair, was transparent, was competitive, and was the efficient process that we took. And then the financial risk, we know with Treasury and the fiscus at the moment, there is not much money there, but we can make a compelling argument. I believe that because of the transition, we will need to get money from Treasury, but obviously from our side as well, we need to prioritize and really prepare a very compelling and convincing bid for additional resources that we will definitely need come the 1st of April 2018. And then on the risks again, the delay in issuing to new SASSA beneficiary cards, that part covered. And maybe the other one, let's say, is the lack of system integration. We really need to integrate our systems such that they are able to talk to each other. Whilst we put that system integration as the risk, remember, we're bringing a lot of other players that are going now to be mostly working with us as SASSA as well. And then the budgetary constraints that we are talking to Treasury about. And I think the other risk on the budget is that we cannot actually give the exact figures for the transition until such time the process of procurement has been completed. Then we know exactly who is going to charge us how much, and we are hoping that they won't be far off from the 16.44 that we've been paying to CPS, so that our budget, because the line budget is always there, then we know that at least we won't be far off from our budget. But we will only know after the whole process of procurement has been completed. And then our recommendation is that the portfolio committee note the progress in relation to legislative mandate of SASSA and the extent to which the mandate has been implemented, the key events scheduled to ensure that the payment of the social assistance grants from April 2018 and the proposed framework towards SASSA taking the payment function in-house over an estimated 3 to 5 years. I thank you, Chairperson.
I've been really wishing to get to this last item. I was looking for something saying thank you. The report is very interesting, however, but very detailed. I will now allow members to ask questions. And without putting words into your mouth, honorable members, if I would request you to come with the sequence so that we don't have to jump from the last page to the other page. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I just caution. Before you, Honorable Wilson, can I welcome Honorable Valerie Merve? I'm happy you find the space within honorable members, or else I won't acknowledge you. I say it's one of the officials. Now you are in the right place, as well as Mama Dudley. Mama Wilson, you are on the floor as per your... Can I see us?
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate that. And welcome to SASSA, Minister and delegation here today. Two quick questions at the outset. I refer to services that SASSA will insource. It's on page 8 of our representation. I'm not sure what page it is on yours. I think it's page 60. It's slide 16. Can I go ahead? Thank you, Chair. Two things. You say the biometric identity user management system, a contract has already been awarded on that. Can you tell us, please, who's been awarded that contract? When was this contract done and signed, and how long was the contract on that biometric system? Can I continue, Chair? Thank you. And underneath that, point number 4, management of regulation 26A to deduct deductions from October 2017, I think you said that was still in negotiation. Is it still in negotiation? And finally, on your slide number 21, that all beneficiary data relating to any form of interaction with SASSA or service provider via the call center or any other point of interaction, that this data has not yet been availed. the system's been up and running for a long time, actually a couple of years already. Why have we not got that data, and why haven't we pursued it as yet? This is one of the concerns, if it's still with CPS, that was raised by Backsash and the court application. If I could have an answer on that, if I need to ask more, I'll raise my hand later. Thank you, Chair.
Very much. They recorded your question. They are working on it. The next member is Mama Abrams.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Okay, I'm right this way. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and again, welcome to our acting CEO, and thank you very much for the very formative presentation. I think there's so few questions to ask, because you've been very clear, and we're going to keep you accountable for what you've said today. We will record it. Thank you. Regarding SCOPA on page 5, slide 9, I'd like to know, Chairperson, the department will be filing on the 15th and SCOPA wants to meet on the 14th. What is the intention? What does SCOPA seek to achieve on the day before you file? Then page 7, slide 14, in terms of your payment model, it's good that SASA is thinking in that line to eventually take over payments. That's very good. I just hope that skill development will take place within this process so that we keep internal and retain our staff, and that they we develop, that would be also very good for retainment. Then on page 9, slide 18, again, well done on taking full responsibility for the funeral policies and all the other debit orders that goes with it. I'm sure our community will be very happy when they see such a report. And we won't receive lots of these queries. Thank you. That's well done. My other question, Chairperson, how will SASA be able to assist with the green cards? That is a crisis in our communities. How will you eventually get the green cards out of the system? When you live in a township like myself, people are very happy when they receive these loans, but when you speak to them, then they say they've been cheated, their cards have been kept in their ID books and all these things, yes. The new card system rollout on January 18th, I wrote that before you spoke, that the social media has been alive and well. I've actually written to SASA asking if it's true, because people are very worried that the card system will phase out, that they won't get their cards, they won't get their payments. So they are again starting all this havoc, and we need to tell our people that it's not true, that the card system won't be phased out, it will be phased out, and the viral system, that it's not true. If we as members could also receive some form of communication so that when it goes out, we also in our constituencies send out such social media. We're also alive and well with social media, and we can assist our community. With regard to the access to cards, also again, well done, that you will be protecting our beneficiaries. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
The next member, Honourable Dati, and then Honourable Marshall.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the officials. I wasn't here when you came in, and the Minister. A lot of the questions are covered, but it's just the delay in issuing the new SASA beneficiary card. What do we see? When do you estimate that will be, and what? How do you see that process? Because that's the sort of thing people are speaking about. So it's just to give people an idea so that when they get the wrong information, they've at least got the right information to balance it against. And then I try to keep an eye on what you're putting out so that we can share it on social media. But it's probably a good idea to actually alert us here on the committee when there's a particularly important announcement that needs to get out so that we can actually be a bit on the ball with spreading that. Thank you. That's all for me.
Honorable Chair?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you to the Minister, the opening of this presentation, as well as welcoming the new acting CEO of SASA. Well done. I think your presentation was very clear, and it's promising to say that there is a step forward in regard to the Concord implementation. It's really promising, and we are impressed by the the fact that you are going to insource the information of the beneficiaries and you're the one that is going to pay their funeral and make that agreement and the cards not to for other people to access the information. Chair, I saw on page 10, I don't know because there are two presentations, I'm holding on my one that I was reading, but it's under compliance with constitutional courts, order 11 and 12, continue. There is an indication that the payment discussion has not been concluded yet with the expert. What I want to check, when in your presentation you indicated that you offered 1.5 and the experts, they are requesting 2.7. What I want to check, because we all know that originally there was no budget for this until there was a review of the APPs and tried to figure in the amount. That amount that they are requesting, is it going to be in line with the budget that you revised? And what if, in regard to the comparison between the work streams and this expert, are we not going to pay more in the proposal for the expert? Chair, I will suggest, Honorable Chair, because you know we are responsible for monitoring and doing the oversight of the budget. And when we're reading the letter that the chairperson shared with us from the AG, seemingly it raises a great concern. Because it's like now these experts are not going to report to us. They are reporting directly to the court. And as a result, it looks like our powers are ripped off. I think in order to get a clarity at this portfolio committee, one will suggest that we'll invite the AG, together with the National Treasurer, the SCOPA, so that we can be in the same roof and try to get clarity and know what is going to happen. Because if they just work and report directly, you know, to the Concord and the amount that they are requesting as an counter, and the counter offer of the SASSA 1.5, because seemingly it's like now there is no difference to the work that has been done. Maybe I agree with the colleague that we need to request the work that has been done by the work streams, because the minister indicated that they have presented it to the interministerial committee. I think we need, because it's the asset of the government after they have completed. We can't just throw in those work that has been done. And also to try, and as it will assist us to also do the comparison around the issue of the financials with the experts. Also, Chair, I will propose that we get a legal opinion regarding the letter that has been presented before us from the AGs, so that when we meet with them, we really understand and look at it, how do we take this work forward. And the other question, Chair, I want to check whether the SASSA or the department has already done the scope of work for these experts, timelines, terms of reference, and the plan of action. I'm asking this, Chair, because as they are putting forward, but what puzzled me is the fact that they are already in the field. When they are in the field, what agreement are they working on as they are still working? Because there is a, it's like now there is no agreement around the issue of the offer, if they are already in the field, how are we going to deal with that particular matter? I know that because the PFMA, I don't think there will be business as usual when you pay without any agreement. We have seen also in the other departments, like in the National Treasury, where they were just paying without any agreement, which is contrary to the law. We don't want to follow that one. The other thing, Honorable Chair, I wanted to check the issuing of cards. You said you are working with a Reserve Bank, and also indicated what SAPO, or the minister indicated that you are committed to work with SAPO. Chair, I will further also propose that maybe we have to meet with SAPO, Honorable Chair, to get their readiness, to check their readiness and what they can do and what they cannot do. Because as we are saying CPS must be phased out, we are saying we must use government so that we can check whether they do have capacity of doing the work. So we request that, Chair, because I don't think it will be out of order if we request that, because we are pleased to hear from the minister herself, because there has been all the talk saying no, they don't want to work with SAPO and so on. But today we know exactly, and she indicated that they have started other job. There is something that they have got an agreement with them that they can't disclose now. So we appreciate, Honorable Minister, the progress that we are receiving here, and we hope that Izo was with Ikubeke Iye Pambili. But there is a question on page 20 on the biometric data migration. You said this on the beneficiary transactional, this data has not yet been availed. The format and frequency to be agreed will be based on the analysis. The delay of the data, is it because at the moment you have not agreed on the analysis of the data structures as well as agreement on the ownership? Is it the reason for you not to receive this data? And then when are you going to finalize this and get a clarity on the ownership of the data? Thanks, Jen.
But because there are matters that are being directed to me, I will also make an intervention before I allow other hands. But I will also allow the department stroke SASA to respond before I take other hands, so that they don't forget, and also we don't forget our own questions. Honorable Sisicelo, you will remember that it was on our agenda to invite SAPO to make a presentation. But ethically we and morally, we didn't see it working, because by that time they had expressed their interest and had actually forwarded their application together with other service providers. We then felt very strongly as this committee that we might be seen by other applicants as supporting SAPO and therefore wanting to listen to them. And it is not in our interest to be in that space. That is why we stopped. But I will indeed agree with you that now that they are available to the SCOPA in the presence of the department, and the department being asked questions in relation to SAPO in a SCOPA meeting, it means then there's no crime in us inviting them.
So I will agree with you. You remember they were going to follow Reserve Bank because we wanted also Reserve Bank to inform us what capacity can they put on SAPO, where each SAPO would want to apply. And then I wasn't present in that meeting, but I was happily informed that Reserve Bank made their presentation, and which was appreciated by members. So we will definitely do that. But before we continue discussing, we might be having different interpretations, honorable members, and the department, on the issue of who is in charge of the monitors. Is it SASA or is it AG? Who directed who in order that they should be monitors and experts? And on top of that, I'm going straight to the issue of the scope, because here is the judge specifying what is to be done, and I think that is the scope of work. And then also appoints someone to be in charge, not SASA, but this thing is going to be done, this matter, to monitor SASA. Can I then refer the members to this letter? Because different interpretations can lead to different questions and implementation processes. I'll take just the second chapter. The court directed SASA and CPS to ensure payment of social grants to grant beneficiaries from 1st April 2017 until 31st March 2018 on the same terms and conditions as those in the previous contract, subject to further conditions. The minister and SASA were further directed to file quarterly reports with the court. With the court, setting out how they planned to ensure the payment of social grants after the expiry date of the 12-month period. What steps they have taken in that regard, and what further steps they would take so as to ensure that the payment of social grants after the expiry of the 12-month period. That says to me, it's a little bit of scope description and time frames. So I want us to note that one is the court instruction directed to the minister and SASA. The last one, the court then, seeing that they don't have this capacity to monitor if this is going to happen, the court appointed AG and 10 independent, I want to mention, independent legal and technical experts to evaluate SASA's compliance with the order. The evaluation firstly requires an assessment of the implementation of payment of social grants during the 12-month period ending 31st March 2018. That's one. Two, the evaluation then also includes a consideration of the steps envisaged or taken by SASA for any competitive bidding process or process aimed at the appointment of the new contractor or contractors for the payment of social grants. And lastly, includes a determination of the steps envisaged or taken by SASA and at SASA itself administering and paying the grants in the future, or SASA itself permitting any part or parts of the administration and payment and in the future. Quarterly reports on the outcome of the evaluation exercise must be submitted directly to the court. I want us to actually internalize this letter because it's coming from the horse's mouth, from the person who has been appointed by court. The court directed SASSA that SASSA is responsible for the reasonable remuneration of all experts. The fees charged must be reasonable. NB, the evaluation performed by AG and experts does not constitute an audit, and the outcome thereof are not reported in accordance with the legislation or any applicable reporting framework. So when we assume this role, we will understand clearly that it is not going to be according to our own practices, that is in terms of legislation or any format that exists, because this one is a format that is being imposed by court. Therefore, the AG says, the evaluation, the appointment of the AG and experts is rather an instrument applied by the highest court of the land to assist it meaning the court, in assessing compliance with its order, not the entire work. The AG and panel of experts report to and are accountable only to the court. Then the letter further says to me, kindly note that in light of the above, my authority, which is the authority of the AG, to report on the work done by my office, AG's office, and the experts, is governed by the court order only. The first evaluation by the panel of experts is nearing completion and will be submitted to the court in September 2017. Until such time that the report has been made public by the court, the content thereof may not be shared. I am, however, available to brief the committee on the method of work applied by the panel of experts, as well as the financial implications posed by the assignment. I could also provide this information in writing to the committee rather than orally. Should the committee find this helpful, an indication from the committee on whether to proceed with the briefing scheduled for 23rd August 2017 will be appreciated, taking into account the position of the AG and the panel of experts as set out in this particular letter. Having read the letter, I then decided that we won't have the meeting, and I decided to consult you, honorable members, through sending the actual letter as it is, though it was directed to me as a chair. And therefore, I do want to say, given what is here, we are allowed to go the way of your recommendation of bringing the AG into our meeting so that he will bring something written and then further engage with us on the matter to actually check these parameters that have been sent, parameters stroke scope. But I also would want to then have a doubt as to especially the legal unit of the department. I'm beginning to be worried, as is fair, whether there is no violation of the AG and court mandate by the scoper. Imagine, this is a letter, because I had actually felt that
if court has directed AG's office to do this work and the panel and then say report directly to court, let me ask a question. Can you come and explain? Because we vividly know what you are going to do. And in order for us to assess if SASSA is complying, we ought to know what is it that you want SASSA to comply with to you. Please come to us. And then they responded in this letter. And then I said, let's have a telephonic discussion, which was very lengthy, in trying to say, let's find a way of how are we going to monitor if the minister and SASSA are complying to you. Because once they don't, then they will be in contempt of court and will come back and blame the portfolio committee. And then having a serious question in the part of SASSA and the department, if there is this arrangement, report only directly to court, and I'm finding a situation where USASA and the department are supposed to be in the scope a day before they submit. And the SCOPA meetings are open in the air. And I fail to see the legality. I might be wrong or a little bit paranoid because court matters in my culture. We are going to challenge. So I am a little bit nervous about this. And finally to say, it will be a sad day, honorable members. A very sad day. If a judgment that seeks to improve the capacity of the department ignores the work that was being done. Because we have not evaluated the work streams work. What if it's a repetition that these experts that demand to be paid 2.7 years, an hour might be doing the work that is already have been done and paid, because there was no process of engaging as to that you failed what was in your bag. Now that I'm going to assist you, open your bag so that I know what work that has not been implemented, so that when I assist you in terms of my ability, I also add value on the work we have done. And finally, I say something that is a judgment. Ubangathi is God's word. You don't interrogate, you don't do anything, you simply comply. Here is the outcome, that we don't know what the experts are doing, we don't know what research was there, and I'm honest that at some stage, somebody is misinterpreting what social development is about. Because in the first place, this department is new. It was never there in the old regime of this country. And now that it was there, Minister Square is the one who first put 6 million, if I'm correct, to establish the department, because it was not there. And therefore, there was no information about it. No information exists in archives because there was no department like the Department of Welfare. And therefore, Honorable Square, former minister, decided that some research be done to establish SASSA. And then I thought, as this committee, we are not going to behave as if there were no other terms, no other portfolio committee members when we do our own work. We will always revert to the legacy report so that we don't repeat what has been done. And finally, I want to say this. This mandate has changed now to be social development. After we felt that don't fish for the poor. Teach the poor to fish for themselves, so that they can have food every day. But now I think we are being driven to an administration that continues to say, pay grant,
and those people are permanent beneficiaries without any change except you increasing it. And we are not going to succeed because the number of the population is increasing. The prices for food is increasing. Grant beneficiaries continue to increase and the bag of the government is shrinking. And not unless we go back, honorable members, I appeal to you, to the actual aid minister. It is not going to actually help us to want a new aid because it's going to take years. But it's better to review, look into the existing SASSA Act, check for weaknesses and loopholes and seek to amend it in order for us to be able to make progress, progressing from what was there, because we're not starting this program, it was there. So I wanted really, really to outline the meaning of the letter and also to think hard when you say to me, Chairperson, bring a legal unit. And I think members would cooperate when I say, let's have 1 hour or 2 hours, even if we are busy, if we lay our hands on the legal unit and they do the work and there's paper, it will be forwarded to you, and then we will sit for a few minutes, 30 minutes or an hour, to deliberate as to, as guided by that advice, legal advice, how do we take the matter forward. Because we don't want to sabotage the department that it does not do its work. Ours is to ensure that it does good work, and we want to ensure that they improve their service every time. Then I will give the department to respond. I just wanted to say these things because they are here, and most questions were about the mandate, the reporting protocol, and who. So it is here. You will also, when you talk, go back and have a bite as to what do you say about the reporting protocol, which is a blueprint of the judgment and that of the AG's office. Another minister, you are on the floor to respond to some of the questions.
Chairperson, I think we've been trying to communicate with the acting DG. On the 13th, we are going to brief the IMC. And then 14th, if we could be given an opportunity in the morning to make a presentation so that we could go and prepare an affidavit. And we want to ask that everyone who wants to be part of the process must come here to the portfolio committee and get a report before we make our submissions. That is the suggestion we want to make, because government work is government work. Government work is a public work. Mm-hmm. It much as the court has put in place instruments to make the process maybe easier. There isn't anything there that says you can't get a report from me. Why I'm saying so, it's because it is the portfolio committee that is going to ask for more money so that we can pay the experts. And for us to be able to get that money, the portfolio committee must know what is happening there. But one other matter, which is the big issue, the one that you have raised, Chairperson of the Department of Social Development, and how it is viewed. It seems as the structure that has to distribute money. And on the side, that has to be strengthened, because you enter social development through welfare services. And then sometimes you have to be within social security, get a grant, and then move to other services that are there in the department that would make you well grounded at a community level. But also something that has to, we have to work at do work that has to strengthen families, so that even the grant that government is paying finds expression within our communities. It should not be just seen as something that you should get, go and buy what, get, go and buy what. It should be used to strengthen families. And other services that government is providing to families would be strengthened by the work that we do at a social development level. When we are going to go to the issue of posts in the Department of Social Development. I think
before you, Honorable Minister, can I request just a 3 minutes stretching of our feet? I think we are absorbing a lot of information just in the Apagapagati.